it's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yes, we back. June is in full swing. Juneteenth is in the rearview mirror. Father's Day is in the rearview mirror. Happy belated Juneteenth. Happy belated Father's Day. How was it for you?
Father's Day was great, man. You know, the family took me out to eat. You know, bought me, your general Father's Day shit, some socks, some drawers. You know what I'm saying?
The essentials. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So it was all good. It's funny because, like, you know, when it's like a holiday, my wife put some stuff up, like, on the little mantle, little bookcase thing. Mm-hmm. With the, you know, with the names, balloons. It's been, you know, a running theme. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they had my name, Ali. But then they had that shit. They said, OG Ali. I'm like, OG? What is y'all trying to say? I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready for my kids to call me OG.
Is that the male equivalent of auntie? Has it been co-opted to that point? Is it old guy? It ain't original gangster no more? Exactly. Older gentleman?
That's how they be using it. Like, it's old guy. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So,
oh, man.
My wife spun it. She was like, it could mean original gentleman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Hilarious.
So
soft, like,
OG, yeah. Ali. Okay. But nah, it was all good.
That's far. You go from father to OG. All right, OG, you got it.
You got it.
Yeah, that's how you placate head. Nah, you got it, OG. That's you. Oh man, OG. Yeah. That's what's up.
Yeah, so we went out to eat, uh-huh. Top spot. Nothing crazy. You know what I mean? Had me a red Snapple. Like, it's a, I don't know if it's just out here, but uh-huh. This spot, Le Colonial, that was the first place I seen do it. They had a red Snapple on their menu, and it's fried, but they like fry the whole thing, and it'd be like sitting on the plate like it would be swimming. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
It's like
with the eye and all of that.
Yeah, with all that. You know what I'm saying? So now mm-hmm. it's a few. Yeah, I seen it in, you know what I'm saying, more places now.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I didn't know that this place served it like that, but I ordered the Snapper
mm-hmm.
by the way he described how they did it up. So I was like, yeah, I'll take that. But it came out a little swimmy swim on the plate with the whole face. And then, but what they did, which I thought was cool, like, so they basically, you know, sliced all the meat off the size of the fish, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they fried that, you know what I'm saying, as its own individual pieces, like, you know, like fried fingers and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But then they also fried the rest of the body of the fish, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So that, you know, it was, you know, had the nice crust all over it. But if you know fish and you know how to eat fish, you know what I'm saying, it's meat all still through there. So you could choose your adventure. You could go, all right, I'm going to just eat these fillets and, you know what I'm saying, call it a day. Or you could really get down to it, like if you was eating the fish whole, you know what I'm saying, on your plate,
mm-hmm.
straight away, getting through it in between the cracks in the bones and shit. So I thought that was, you know, it was a nice little added value because, you know, it gave you both experiences. And I forgot, you know what I'm saying, not being in Miami where – fish is just very prevalent as a meal. You know what I'm saying? I haven't really dug into a whole fried fish, you know what I'm saying, with the bones and all that shit still in it. So that was a cool little exercise, you know what I'm saying, muscle memory, bring back, you know, good thoughts of Friday nights in Miami.
That sounds dope. Cool. So you're saying that they take the fish, cut up the fish, fry the fish, and then mm-hmm. reassemble the fish so, like, you could just now or they fry it whole, then they slice it up for you.
So they take the raw fish, slice the meat off the fat. You know what I'm saying? Slice the you know the easy fillet fish, right? So so if say they just made the two fillets and then cut them up into like 4 or 5 pieces, right?
Yeah.
So you got like 8-9 pieces of fillet, and they fry those individually. Then they take the rest of the body with all the meat that's left and the head and all that shit and fry that by itself.
The Heathcliff. Yeah.
Okay. So and so you're not just getting a plate of bones, you're getting a fried carcass.
Gotcha. You know what I'm saying? I got you.
That still got meat in it. You know what I'm saying? So you still fucking around getting the meat from the in-between.
Yeah. That's one of them things, too. Fried fish with the bones. If you out of practice, that shit could be nasty. It could be a problem because the little tiny-ass bones would tear your ass up. Like, it's not a game. You need to have your bread together. You need to,
Yeah, but that's when you're eating, like, a whiting or some shit like
or
that.
Or a porgy or something like
Like one of them old little bone-ass motherfuckers. Like, Snapper got real, you know what I'm saying, fortified bones. Like, you ain't really going
to... You can move around. Okay.
Yeah, you ain't finna fuck up and swallow one of them.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I'm saying? You tear the whole roof of your mouth out with a snapper bone, fuck around. So, yeah, it kicks right back in how to do it. You know what I mean? Okay. Yeah.
Did you eat the eye?
Hell no, nah,
nigga. Some people eat the eye.
I know. I'm petrified of a fish eye. Like,
you petrified? You think you want to eat the fish's soul?
No, I've bitten into a fish eye before by accident. My grandma made fish soup, right? And like, you know what I'm saying, with fish heads. I guess it's fish head soup, I don't know. But in the boiling process, a eye must have popped out. And so, you know, you put the boiled fish on some grits, and then, you know what I'm saying, it's a good time. Until I bit into that eye. And that shit tastes like poison. Nigga, I was like, I ain't never fought with no boiled fish ever since. You know what I'm saying? That shit was traumatizing. So, yeah, I don't mess around with them heads. I got right up to the gills, got that meat right there behind the gill, and then I let it be.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I hear you.
I'm sure somebody took that head home to their cat, because I wasn't fucking around in there.
That's what it says. Yeah, I don't fuck with the eye. That's a little much. That's a little much. I don't really like a whole lot of the, like, escovitch, I guess. Is that what that shit is? You know, like, you've seen it. Similar to the, I think it is a snapper. The, like, just the full-on fried ass or, like, baked ass fish, you know. Yeah, it's cool. I've been saying this for a while, man. I've been thinking this for a while. Like, I still don't. I'm not the best with fish, you know, like my fish list is short, you know, it's whiting, you know, the classics, you know, anytime I go to a fish market, I'm reminded about all of the variety of fish that go on down there, or even to you from Florida. So like, you know, I know people like down there, like you said, like fish is a bigger option than it is in most places. Motherfuckers is actually pulling shit in that day type of thing, or at least the illusion of it or whatever. And it's just like people down there know the name of more fish than, definitely more fish than I know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's interesting. It's interesting. But yeah, fish has always been tough for me to like to cook. I always feel like, particularly like salmon, feel like it's like cooking eggs. So either you cook that shit too soft or too hard. You know what I'm saying? Pause if need be. But it's very like, you know what I'm saying? It's just real. It could be real hit or miss. I've never mastered it. And I kind of don't do too much fish. I would like to do more because obviously fish is, you know, good for you and shit like that.
But, yeah. Well, when you down there, man, you know, you be knowing different kinds. I done forgot a lot of them because, you know, your grandma, your people send you to the store. Yeah, go give me 5 pounds of that yellowtail. See if they got any butterfish over there. And, you know what I'm saying? I need a saltwater bass or freshwater bass. You know what I'm saying? It's all different kinds of fish that people would have. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Rainbow trout, you know, all
skate.
That type of shit.
Yeah, all that wild shit. You know grouper.
Grouper. People had them grouper fingers. That's how they made these shits, like grouper fingers, except for they gave you the rest of the fish. But yeah, fish, you know, was a option. I wasn't too keen on cleaning no fish or, you know what I'm saying, even fucking around catching a fish. Like, I'll go fishing and catch it, but I don't like to fuck around and have to gut it and scale it and all that shit. It was funny because I had the thought of, I seen something on the internet where they had their own personal fish farm and shit. And I was like, man, that'll be dope. You know what I'm saying? When you get a little older and shit, you don't have to, and you got to be, you know, looking at groceries and shit and being able to go fish in your own pond with fish that you farmed yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I was like, that might be a good farming expedition for a nigga. But then I'm like, damn, somebody still got to clean that shit, dog.
yeah, stock it and all. I know Steve Harvey got that. He got a property with 9 lakes on it.
Mm-hmm.
9 lakes, and there's fish in all of them. There's some lakes you just fish the fish, you fish, catch, release, throw it back. This shit, then he got one lake that he stocked with, I forget what kind of fish he say. But that's where, you know, if you want to eat some fish, you just go catch some fish and shit. That's wild. To your point, yeah, that shit sound cool in theory, but that's a lot of maintenance right there. That's a whole nother headache. Yeah, I'm cool.
Like, you know, if it start getting down to it, you know, everybody talking about growing their vegetables and shit. Seems like a fish might be a little easier to farm than some cows.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. But, I mean, you could just grow some vegetables before you get to fish.
But you might want some fish.
You might want some fish, but trust me, when you're doing that, it comes with a lot, is what I'm saying. For me, some people are like, shit, ain't nothing for me. I'll do that shit. Hell yeah.
That's what I was about to say. I thought about the shit in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Algorithm, you know, the algorithm be all in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, on my Explore page is a nigga... Hood Fishing Entertainment.
Just now?
Nah, not just now. A couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Go look this nigga up, man. This nigga down in Miami somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Dreads, gold teeth, Cuban links on.
Uh-huh.
Fishing. He's like, nigga, watch this. You know what I'm saying? Like, boy, that man, he's like, he don't miss. He throw it in there.
Uh-huh.
20 seconds later, he pulling something stout up out the water. I'm like, the nigga good at what he do.
I think I've seen this cat before. Well, I've seen something. There's a lot of that type going on now. It's definitely,
Hey. I'm like, this man needs a show.
Yeah.
This is intriguing.
Yeah.
He go in all kind of water. He go deep fish. He go in the Everglades, in the swamp. He be all over the place with it.
Similarly, on the timeline, I sent this shit to you. I saw this little family out there fishing, and the pops was fucking around with a little shark, trying to grab a shark, pull it into the boat for whatever reason, with no hook, no rod, just barehanded. Tried to grab the shark, playing himself. Shark got this nigga's pinky, spun on his head, ripped his whole pinky off. This nigga was like, ah, damn it, that motherfucker took my pinky. But the way he compartmentalized that loss, you know how they say he gonna cry in the car later. You know when that shit really hit him, that he don't got a pinky, and he lost his pinky for being an idiot. That shit is gonna, it's gonna destroy him.
Go ahead.
Just for being a dummy. It's sad when there's no empathy in the footage. You know what I'm saying? You should have.
The footage didn't give him nothing. I went and looked that shit up because the comments, they was going in on him. You know what I'm saying? They was like, blame the kid.
Which was hilarious and foul.
But I looked it up. He's actually a pro fucking fisher. They was reeling it in. And then they had got it all the way to the boat. He was trying to bring it in the boat. He actually tried to get the hook out. And then the shark spun on his ass. I thought that was interesting how the shark used that tactic on his ass. Like he spunked on his ass. Like, how you even know that move, nigga? You supposed to be knowing water moves.
Right,
That's a land move.
He's been practicing. If they pull your ass up out of here, this is what you do. Do a 360 and jump back in and bring us a finger.
Right. Actually, they ended up saving his pinky.
Okay, good. I saw something like that in the comments. Okay, yeah. Cool.
They ended up saving his pinky. I went and looked it up. You know, I be doing my research. You know, the comments be, you know, they be uninformed, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So it was another one where some niggas came in the store and they was, you know, they was barking off at the cashier in the bodega. Mm-hmm. And so the nigga was like, "You nigga what?" You know what I'm saying? He's like, "Shit, I'll kill you." And the nigga was like, "Whatever, come outside. And he pulled a scrap, came from around the counter and started busting. Blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, the comments is like, you know what I'm saying? Now he done threw his whole life away. He going to jail. I was like, let me see what happened with this shit.
Let me find out here.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Man, didn't even get charged. They didn't even get charged.
Damn, this is recent?
Yeah, somewhere in Florida. Central Florida, you know. They let all the Florida news out. Florida don't know how to hold their news.
Did he kill anybody or he just let it go and they got up out of there?
I don't think so. I think he just let them fly.
Okay. Yeah, wow. Yeah, man. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, you gotta leave the comment section and go do your research. You know what I mean? You do, because the comment section will have you misinformed and indignant. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, careful. Shit. But, yeah. I haven't gone fishing in a long, 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 long time. Mm-hmm. I remember back in the day, my pops used to go fishing like off the Belt Parkway, over in that little body of shit, and that be a little thing over there. I just remember you gotta have a lot of patience for that shit. You know what I'm saying? And I could see it as a kid. I could see what it was. I could see how it turns into something. You know, you go out there, a couple beers, maybe your radio. You know what I'm saying? And you just enjoy life. You get away from it all. And, you know, if you catch something, you catch something. But it's almost like it's really about, for some, from what I gather, look more about like the meditation of it all. You know what I'm saying? Like, just the time to clear your mind. If you catch something, it's cool. It's like even like when some people go to the casino and gamble, you know? Like my grandfather's good for going to Atlantic City. Sometimes he come back, be tight, because he ain't getting nothing. Sometimes he got a little something, or maybe he got something each time, but you know, we don't know until he pieced my grandmother off. You know what I'm saying? But I'm sure that away time was great too. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what it is.
See, in hindsight, as a grown person, just like I talk about the cats who used to be in their yards every day. Mm-hmm. Got the freshest yards on the block. Yes, of course, their wife happy that they got the freshest yard on the block. But that time cultivating that yard is time to yourself. Mm-hmm. Nobody ain't going to come fuck with you because you might ask them to help. It's like, shit, oh, you got that, dog. You got it, big dog. Mm-hmm. Fishing is a sanctioned event that nobody ain't going to fuck with you. Wait, oh, they on the boat fishing. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's it. You come back, you got fish as, you know what I'm saying, proof of concept, and it's all good. Everybody gonna eat. Everybody understand that. That's back to the primals. You know what I'm saying? He going hunting for some fish. He's gonna bring back food for our security and safety. So.
Right. Yeah. The hero. Yeah, you look like the hero.
You're a hero. Or at least, you know what I'm saying? At least you just had a nice little day without no fucking request.
Yeah, Right. And all that shit. Yeah, got to chill.
You don't want to just see you sitting around on the couch and shit. This nigga. Mm-hmm. He ain't bringing us no fish. He ain't cutting the grass.
Look at this lazy nigga.
This nigga. Uh-huh. Oh, that's when he's, that's when they start. That's when you get the request to wash the dishes and shit.
That's the worst. When it just be, it just be petty assignments. Just cause out of pure resentment, petty assignments that are inspired by resentment. Like, okay. Okay, all right, look, they try to figure some shit out for you like you a kid. All right, let me figure. Okay, since you just want to sit around, you want to be on remote control duty, let me see what needs to be done here. You're like, what is going on?
Oh, oh shit. Man.
Yeah, man. Oh, shit. I was just watching that, the Louis Vuitton men's show, the Pharrell Williams collection, his first collection. Mm-hmm. Watching that, they got it on YouTube. Mm-hmm. It's a spectacle. It's a hell of mm-hmm. a spectacle. I'll tell you that. They got mm-hmm. it over like on the River Seine, like you'd like this, like almost like a, it's like on a bridge. And I guess what would be the runway? What is the runway? First of all, it looks like the runway itself, or what is the runway, is like I said, it's a bridge, but it's like, feels like it's at least 100 yards. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a full on, it's, you got to have your wind together for this walk. This ain't just the regular catwalk. This is a jungle walk. You all the way out there. And what was kind of cool from what it looked like they, now my, this is a block, this is a street. Looked like they cut a piece of leather. Or at least it appeared to be leather. Cut a piece of leather. What's the pattern? A damier or whatever? They cut a piece of leather that takes over the whole block, and they walking up and down that shit, driving up and down that shit. And wow. It was kind of fly. It was kind of fly. I can't even lie. There was a couple things, you know, because a lot of times some of that shit is a little too elevated and esoteric to really say, you know, I could play that. And while there was some stuff that maybe I wouldn't play, I saw some things that I thought was cool. There was one, never seen this before, I don't believe. They had like a, they made like a leather Louis rugby. That shit looked fire. I never seen a leather rugby before. That shit was kind of fire. Then there was this one part that I clipped. There was a part where I guess they premiered, they had the Clips walk, right? They had the Clips walk in these Louis Vuitton, you know, they did a little flip of like VA, you know, LV is for lovers type shit, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or some Virginia shit. So they had the Clips walk, and they walk in the joint together with these loud ass, like, I think Pusha got like a leather trench kind of duster joint, and then Malice got like a, more like a Varsity, like an Avirex looking joint. And it's got the big print on it. And they coming through. But then they playing this brand new Clips record, you know, nobody heard before. So it's fly, because on some hip hop shit, they playing exclusives at the joint. And and then you see Hov and Beyonce on the side. And you see that nigga Hov with the, that nigga is feeling that shit. Like, you know how Hov get the crazy face when he feeling the record. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, I don't know if he was throwing it on just as support, but it felt like a moment. It felt like a cool moment, you know, for the culture. You know what I'm saying? I'm tired of just the culture, but just for, you know, black people and shit and just, you know, whatever. And then you listen to that little Pusha verse. Seems like it's a little subliminals going in on Jim Jones. Seems like that might be, you know, the beginning of the response. Yeah. It could be interpreted.
About the Clips, that he ain't had no hit record. I mean, he don't know none of his records.
Yeah, he said about basically specifically Pusha T. I guess it was the top 50 MCs that Vibe and Billboard did together. Vibe and Billboard are now together. So they did a list of the top 50 rappers. And of all time. And I guess Pusha's somewhere in there. I forget. And Jim is like, How this nigga get on the list? You know what I'm saying? No disrespect, but all disrespect. How did this nigga, who invited, you know, one of them? Right. One of those where it's like, you don't particularly need to say that. Even if you feel like you know what kind of, how the shit works, especially how right. this Clip Nation works. So right. it obviously, it was on the Rap Caviar podcast. That shit got clipped into oblivion and, you know, Pusha had a little slick, you know, like indirect type of caption on one of his joint a little while ago, but everybody was like, something gonna happen. Cause you know, Pusha, you know, that nigga, you know, he lived for a little bit of smoke, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Especially if we gonna be on the mic, you know what right, I mean? Right. If I could exhibit the fact that I get busy and I could, you know, climb the rungs of, you know, another rung of, you know, anti being slept on. You know what I'm right, saying? Right, the right, shit. Right. I'll take somebody's head for that. So it's an interesting place to debut a subliminal verse. It's very elevated.
See, the Clips had the great fortune of mm-hmm. having some great support. You know what I mean? Like yes. they came in with Pharrell. And mm-hmm. Pharrell has ascended to this place, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Of you know, royalty in culture, music, fashion, all of the above.
Right.
As well as, you know what I'm saying, the good fortune of, you know, linked with Kanye who rose to the same type of heights.
Mm-hmm.
Which gives them a level of fly by association, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Pusha probably ain't been known for nobody's fashion, you know what I'm saying? Anything. But he's in the fashion mix without even fucking trying because he's down, he's with the squad, you know what I'm saying? And hey man, you got to love it, you know? He there cuz you know yeah. what I'm saying? He's his people. As Don King once said, "My power lies in my people ties." So that's what keep Pusha on top.
Yeah. And then the fly thing about it is, as shiny as those people are, what they respect about the Clips and Pusha is that they stay who they are. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, nah, keep doing that shit that you do. You don't need to do no radio shit. Keep talking right. that brick talk. You know what I'm right. saying? You know, look. And shit. Enjoy this access.
Right,
but be
right,
you. Right, we right, want you right. to be you. Yeah, we're not cutting the coke.
There's yeah. a lot of brick talk niggas out of business, I tell you.
Yeah, man. Exactly.
Without the same level of connection.
Exactly. The surroundings don't match the lyrics.
Yeah, man. If you ain't got the clientele, say hell no.
Oh, shit. Because they going to want their money.
Rain, anyway. Sleet, hell, snow.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was pretty cool. Pretty interesting to see that shit. You know, we'll see what happens. See how long the rain goes. How long this cat will be, was a creative director of Louis for, you know, how long he's going, his administration will be and what he will bring about. But, some cool pieces, you know. So what's up? What else is going on, man?
I mean, that means LV will get a whole good another round, few seasons of nigga support.
All-Star Weekend, yeah, All-Star you know Weekend fits, Grammys,
Negro support. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
The American Negroes have been holding up the high fashion industry. You know what I'm saying? To the sky since 2020.
Yeah.
when the whole world was in shambles, niggas was flooding LV.
Yeah, right. In the midst of a pandemic. Because if this is it, it got to go out fresh.
The whole pandemic, the line at Louis Vuitton was out of doubt.
Uh-huh. I'd rather die enormous than live dormant. I hear that shit. Yeah, man. Fuck it. Let's get it. Oh, man. Speaking of that, just fashion and black culture, hip hop, and all of that. I've been peeping, you know, Hip Hop 50. This is Hip Hop 50, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
What's interesting to me, which I appreciate as a somebody that's raised on hip, just loves rap, loves hip hop, you know, culture and all that shit, and loves to see it get its due, mm-hmm. right? And see, you know, it the celebration of it all. Love to see the flowers. And it's still kind of blown by, obviously, the, you know, who knows the true number, but the fact that we're deeming it 50 years old, right? Mm-hmm. It's gotten this far, right? But in this whole hip-hop 50, it's like everybody taking a shot at this theme. Like, everybody mm-hmm. is at the party. I see, right. So, like, you know, just company after company after company, not to say any names, just so many companies are taking their swings, whether it's event-based, whether it's documentary production-based or whatever. Mm-hmm. You're seeing all of these representations of hip-hop celebration. You know, some are better than others, but it's like, at least for right now, it's a healthy reservoir of hip hop programming. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That you could kind of just backstroke in on some Scrooge McDuck type shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you know? So, like, to that point, I was just watching this thing. I didn't even finish it, but it was talking about, you know, hip hop 50 fashion, mm-hmm. fly at 50. And I went to the, I talked about it. They had an actual exhibition at the Fat Museum, at the Fashion FIT Museum downtown. And then I think it was the FIT Museum. Yeah, I think it's the FIT Museum. And now there's like a documentary component that's going on with it. I've seen like Dapper Dan in there so far, and April Walker. You know, again, I haven't gotten too far into it. Damon John, you know. So it's just cool just to see, because it's so funny, like, I remember when hip hop was so like underserved, when you mm-hmm. had to seek this shit out. Now we lousy with it, you know? You know what I'm saying? That's fucking Iceberg Slim was just lousy with hip hop fucking propaganda. But it's fly. I'm not mad at it. It's just interesting to see how this shit is, like, at least for this year. You know, and obviously hip-hop ain't really going nowhere. But it's also funny, too, at the same time, in the midst of the hip-hop 50, there's this story about how, well, we 6 months into the year, no rap albums, maybe rap R&B albums, have debuted number one, which is also kind of interesting, too. Mm-hmm. What you think?
Well, listen, man. You know, have any of the major players dropped this year?
I don't believe so. I can't think off the top of the head. I know Kendrick dropped last year. Drake mm-hmm. dropped last year. Who are the major players now? Like, because I feel like they evolving now, right? I guess.
Right.
Yeah. I know Dirk dropped this year. I don't know if he's a major player. I know he's a phenomenon. Yeah,
he's a major player, but, you know album-wise, like, or single-wise.
Sensation.
You
know? Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, these things happen. You know what I'm saying? They're, you know, when you don't have any of the major players dropping at the top of the year, because they all dropping towards the end, you know what I'm saying, to really set up that runway for themselves. There are shifts in how people are listening to things, what people are listening to. People kind of diversifying a little bit. Dance is having a moment right now. You know. But again, you also, the system is just keep feeding the game the same thing over and over. You know what I'm saying? So it may be good that there's no number one hip hop albums right now. Maybe they might switch it up a little bit and start, you know, trying different methods of getting the number one hit. Because sometimes you have to do that, you know. At first, it was a formula of this: how we gonna do it with radio, this type of hit, bam, bam, bam. You got a pop hit, that's it. Then they started using the hip hop southern formula of, all right, we just make songs that go straight to the clubs, that, you know, what I'm saying, strippers gonna dance to, and that's gonna make us a hit. They did that for, you know what I'm saying, down there a decade or so. And then now they get on to the, you know what I mean, the, you know, the drill pop era. You know what I'm saying? Sing songy, pop, violent, spinning the block, all that. You know what I mean? Now it might be time for a shift. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They, you know, man, the game might be looking for that next type of voice, that next type of topic, or the next approach of how you're going to deliver the same information. And then, you know, so, yeah, it's not sad that hip-hop didn't have a number one this year yet, because they'll still finish strong. They're still streaming heavy. And, you know what I'm saying? But as far as Hip-Hop 50 is concerned, yeah, it's definitely a far cry from, oh, this is just a fad. What is this? This is just some bullshit. What you motherfuckers talking about? All y'all talking about is I, me. You know what I'm saying? To it being a major thing, it's just, you know, it's time for some evolution, probably. You know? Like, you know, a lot of these companies, see, a lot of people in general, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people in general you came up with wasn't really rocking with hip-hop like that. You know what I'm saying? They might listen to the hits, you know what I'm saying? They might be in the club, okay, yeah, woo, woo, woo. They wasn't really rocking with that shit. They make money off of it. It might be their whole job. They don't go home and rock with that shit or the people like that. So, you know what I'm saying? It's just good to see that something that as a kid you looked at like, damn, this is the biggest shit in the world. Mm-hmm. That everybody was like, man, that's some bullshit. Mm-hmm. And then for somebody like me, I pretty much made all of, you know what I'm saying, my career off of the fact that I pursued behind that culture. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like something you saw in your head in the motherfucking sixth grade, you've made all your money just like you thought you would. And then that shit wasn't even like a whole industry yet. It was just some shit that you heard in some speakers outside. Right. This shit wasn't even on the radio like that every day. I don't know what made it be like, damn, this shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is some shit. But it was. And when you was in it like that, it struck you. And for it to still be here, still be thriving, still be, you know what I'm saying, top of the, that has risen to the top of the music, the music shit is amazing because at no point did they want that to be. You know what I'm saying? At no point did they say, hey, we want these, you know what I'm saying, these hood tales and parables to be the most listened to shit in the world.
Right. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then it is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like Jay, like niggas in Paris, like shit, we ain't supposed to be here.
Yeah, a nigga in Paris looking like Karl Lagerfeld.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that shit look crazy.
Hip hop nigga is out here running the Louis Vuitton menswear shit. You got niggas all up and down the runway. You got niggas on the side. This was reserved for the highfalutin Europeans. You know what I'm saying? Now, yeah, they still make the money like the Louis. Man, niggas have made the nigga from Louis Vuitton, he the richest motherfucker in the world.
Who, the guy that runs LV?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
During the pandemic. Hold on.
Arno? Is it something
Arno?
Yeah, okay.
Bernard Arno. Right. You know what I'm saying? He probably peaked during the pandemic when the niggas was just buying that shit up.
Yeah. That's so wild.
I think Elon Musk done passed him up right quick, but you know what I'm saying, in real time, but shit. He right up there. He became the richest while niggas was tearing it up in the pandemic.
Right. I was just about to ask you, if you became the richest person in the world during the pandemic, would you feel guilt? Would you keep it low? How would you feel in that moment?
Nigga, The richest person in the world, I ain't gonna never, they ain't never feeling no guilt, nigga.
I'm talking about if you felt that way. Just
no, I ain't
based
feeling
on
no guilt. What are you talking about? I'm gonna start a nonprofit. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, look at you.
You're gonna give like Carnegie and Rockefeller and them did so they won't tax me to death. Gosh, you know what I'm saying? I help.
I like that's reasons, a tax shelter.
I help. I help the people that I can. I help them till they threaten to kill me, and then I'll scale it back to, you know what I'm saying, helping how I need to help. You know what I'm saying? Try to change the culture. Try to give kids some fucking hope and dreams and goddamn education before third grade. You know what I'm saying? Because that's where it's important. Pre-K, first grade, second grade. Third grade is when they decide how many motherfucking prison beds they need to build. By your reading level at the third grade.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If your ass ain't reading up the part in the third grade, they making a bed for you.
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying?
That's wild. Immediate.
That's immediate. Like, oh, that's how they gauge this shit.
Yeah. Damn.
So you got to attack that shit from the womb, you know what I'm saying, to third grade. Make sure, you know what I'm saying, that the people is on track. And figure a way of how to get, you know, parents to get involved with that. I don't know the answers to it. It might not be possible, but that's where you got to start. Whatever they did to make football and basketball a priority, that shit need to happen in other spots, because that is the case study. You know what I'm saying? Niggas will be, you about third grade, nigga, you ready. You doing drills and you know what I'm saying, going to practice, doing all kind of stuff. You know the stats. By the time you hit middle school, you know what kind of stats you need to be to go to D1. You need to know what type of speed you need to play this position, that position. And now, shit, you go D1, you hit an NIL lick, you good money. You ain't
even
got to worry about it.
Go pro. You ain't even got to go pro.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's interesting. I'm curious where it all shifted a bit. Because I think even when I was a kid, I felt like being smart, I felt like it shit kind of switched maybe like in the 90s a little bit, when shit was like, you was proudly like, man, I don't fucking know. Well, man, fuck out of here with that bullshit type shit. Yeah, I guess it was crack era. Because I remember being young, like you say in third grade, I remember being a flex to be like in third grade and being on a reading on a sixth grade level. Like that was some shit. That was a little stat. That was some shit you would be celebrated for. Right. And it was, you know, even in the music, it was fly to be smart. Do the knowledge. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, stay on your ones. You know what I mean? All of that shit. You on your square, you know what it is. You know, like all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Then, and I guess it was, I probably did make a shift to the crack era because it was about money then, and humanity kind of fell to the wayside, and it was just like, what can you acquire as opposed to what can you learn?
Right.
And maybe we've never come back from that on a certain level. I feel like it seems to be coming. You don't think so? I feel like I see seeds of it. I see seeds of it.
We have grown. You know what I'm saying? In certain spots, right? Certain spots we've grown. We're becoming, you know what I'm saying? Certain segments are becoming more educated. But at the same time, the value system is very crack era value systems that run. And at that time, that was like a undercurrent. It wasn't the majority of thought, you know what I mean? And it might not be the majority of numbers thought, but the majority of what we see in mainstream talk and in our algorithms and the prominent voice online, the loudest voice online, is get this money. Get this money, man. Fuck all that shit. You know what I'm saying? Get this money. Like, yeah, he's nice, he's cute, he treats me well. What's that money looking like? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, fuck all that shit. I ain't got time for no relationship. I need to get this money. And, you know, it's crack era morals taking over. And right now, that's, you know, that's the talk. And it may not be, it may not stick. We may change, and people may come up with another option of how to do this world. Next generation may look at all what has happened in the last 30 years and be like, man, that shit was terrible. That was the dark ages. Right, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
We maybe, you know what I'm saying, some young enlightenedness might, you know what I'm saying, be being born right now.
New renaissance.
Yeah, yeah. Old enlightened ass baby. Come out and change this whole shit.
Yeah, by the third grade.
By the third grade. He's enlightened as fuck.
The new hope. Yeah. Oh, shit. Nah, that's what it is. We'll see. We'll see. Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive and keep hope grades high, especially before third grade. You know what I mean? Oh, shit. What's cracking?
It's cracking. Shit.
What you
want
to talk about, man?
Just, I just got back from Miami. I came back on Father's Day. It's down in Miami for ABFF, American Black Film Festival. Just had to say that because a lot of people asked me what that meant, and I thought everybody kind of knew what that meant. So
yeah. When last time you been there?
To Miami?
No, ABFF.
ABFF, last time I was there was 2018, which is very ironic because I was there for a very similar reason. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
2018, we were there shooting the Dear Black Man video, the one that went viral. We shot the second group of women and a lot of the B-roll during ABFF 2018. And this year we went back to shoot a thing called Dear Dad in a similar fashion, but very a quicker type of play for ABFF and Walmart. So basically, you know, they reached out like, yo, we want to do something like what you did with the Black Man video because we want to do something for black fathers. Mm. It's like right up my alley. Let's go. You know, went down, did it, and got the fuck up out of there. But it's always interesting. You know what I'm saying? It's interesting. It's something, like, even when we did the first one, I realized that it was something there that needed to be explored and that I felt like I can explore. Like, this is something you could explore for the rest of your life because it's untapped, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's something with black men that needs to be unleashed, and I feel like I'm tapping into something that I don't know what it is, and I don't know how to get all the way to the other side of it. But I mean, when you go outside and you ask a few questions to some grown men, you know what I'm saying, and grown men that you never met before, and you know, out of the first 10 people, you got 4 grown men crying.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Outside in the middle of the sidewalk. You see what I'm saying? It's something there. You know what I'm saying? It's something begging to be explored. And I just had to figure out how to do it. You know what I'm saying? The best way to approach it. But, you know, you're talking to guys about their father. Whether it's a good relationship, bad relationship, anything. It's just, seem like nobody is talking to black men about certain things. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a topic that nigga ain't really discussing in a thoughtful way. You know what I'm saying? Somebody may ask you, you might answer, how your pops? Oh yeah, he cool. You know what I'm saying? We talked last night. You know what I'm saying? But then when you go and you start thinking about, when you think about, you know what I'm saying, fatherhood, what does that mean to you? Right? Then they go into it. And then you come back, when you think about your father, you know what I'm saying? How does that make you feel? What are your thoughts? What are your descriptive words? And what are your, you know what I'm saying? You had to really start to add adjectives to it. And it's like going to a place where you like nobody ever took you there, and it's like, oh shit, I didn't even know I had muscles there, nigga. Am I crying? You know what I'm saying? It is just like that quick. So it's something there, dog. Like, and And I think as much as there is like a black woman renaissance, I think black men got to kind of double back and deal with each other, you know what I mean? And then come back and apply it all to the grander overall culture of black men and women. So it's something in that vein, man, that I'm going to figure out at some point.
All right. I see. I see what you're saying. I see that there's definitely a need for it. No. I see it. I see it. It's going to be tough. I know that.
You think it would be tough, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, I thought it would be tough to have these conversations. But it's actually super easy. And cats were very forthcoming with the information. And you know what I'm saying? Again, I don't know these people, but
right. It's
like once asked, nigga actually do want to talk about that shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I think a lot of times we assume, nobody want to talk about that shit. Nobody want to hear that shit. I think if you frame it up like, you know what I'm saying, black man healing or some shit like that, then the nigga gonna be like, nigga, what the fuck out of here? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But when you just having a regular ass conversation, you ever talk to like niggas on the block or niggas from the neighborhood? Mm-hmm. If you actually listen and shit, once you actually talking to, and not, you know what I'm saying, just on some random shit. Mm-hmm. You actually be, if you start listening to the adjectives and you know what I'm saying, you actually hear words that you wouldn't associate with niggas. You know what I'm saying? Like I hear niggas like, man, that shit was beautiful. A lot. And beautiful is not a word that you would associate with black men. You know what I'm saying? Nobody wants to associate love with black men, but you hear that shit a lot when you talking, like when you just amongst niggas. And you know what I'm saying? It's like people who have a real dialogue and not a fake posturing dialogue. You'll hear flowery ass adjectives more often than you would think you would. And that's the part that I'm like, oh shit, it's something there. Because when you look at media and you look at how people think black men talk and behave with each other, then it comes out all extra hard and shit. And you be like, man, niggas ain't acted like that since 89, 92. You know what I'm saying? Like when you see people posturing like a, like, you know what I'm saying? They hard.
Real nigga. Yeah.
Right. I'm real nigga. It don't even be, you know what I'm saying, how niggas really act in real time. You know what I'm saying? It be like a fucking fossil of a nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, fantastical.
That's old. Like niggas don't even talk like that. Like I used to point it out to my wife. I was like, listen, when you ride past certain blocks and it be like a bunch of men, just black men, just out there on the block, your first instinct is be like, oh shit, them niggas out there selling drugs. Anybody might want to rob some or something. Hey, but you actually like zone in on niggas and they faces and shit. Niggas be smiling, having a good time, and, you know, slapping hands and laughing. Like, you know what I'm saying? And then if they break up and walk their own separate ways, then they put that mask back on. So.
Mm-hmm. That's my point. That's what I'm saying. Because to your point, I do feel like then there's the potential. There needs to be there. It is obvious a bunch of different things. It's obvious that if given the opportunity, more often than may be expected, they're a cat that you might not expect to articulate their feelings can in a way that is very spot on, right? However, a lot of the times there isn't really that forum, like that's my point. So that's what I'm saying. And then the thing is, after that forum, what happens after that forum? Like, because then once you, that's the thing about cracking into trauma or cracking, because that's like a lot of it, cracking into trauma or crack unpacking feelings and shit like that. When you start unpacking all of that shit, like
It's like when you unpack your luggage. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like that shit. It might be there for a few days, and you looking at the pile. You like, nigga, I don't want to do that shit right now. You step over the pile. After a while, you don't even see the pile. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm not saying that it's impossible. I'm all for it, but what I'm saying is it just needs to be, it just needs to be something systematic. And to your point, it is sad to say, but when it's the hammer on the nail, when you say black man healing, so a lot of motherfuckers, the way we've been socialized, it sound like some soft shit. Nigga, what you going to do, that black man healing meeting? You know what I mean?
But see, that ain't what it is. Healing. But that ain't how you do it. See, it's just like, and I hear what you're saying, but to me, it don't need no system. You know what I'm saying? It needs to be fertilized. It's a seed. You know what I'm saying? It needs to be fertilized. You put it in the dirt. You know what I'm saying? Make sure some sunshine on it and let it grow. It's like hip hop, nobody could plan for what hip hop would be. You know what I'm saying? They thought that shit was just nothing. Just some niggas talking, but niggas at that time needed that shit. They needed to know how other people felt and thought in different places other than their own, in different neighborhoods. You know what I'm saying? It was a form of communication. Even when you look at, like, when you look at black music and before hip hop, like, it was still a way for us to communicate. You know what I'm saying? The dances, like, how does a dance travel from one club all the way throughout the country over the course of a summer? You know what I mean? Before it was videos and all that, that's how that shit went. You go to a place, they do a dance up there, you bring it back to where you at, you all start doing it, and before you know it, that shit is all over the place. You know what I mean? That shit, now it's on Soul Train and shit. So it's like all of these things are communication. Like we had, you know, rock and roll, we had soul, you know what I'm saying? We had dancing, then we got hip hop, which was really like more straightforward talking. And communication. You know what I'm saying? It didn't have a system in the beginning. And now that it has a system, it's less of a communication device because everybody communicating the same fucking thing. So I think right now it just needs a seed. It just needs to be planted. Let it go from there, because people will jump on and do this. You will have people that say this black man here, or you might just have, you know what I'm saying? Shit, we niggas from the Bay. And then when they talk to each other, they know what it means.
Right. Maybe my point is, maybe system is not the right word. Maybe momentum is the word that I'm looking for. Like how you say, like just how hip hop spawned. Because, you know, like it feels like sometimes it could feel like, we'll check in on black men on Father's Day. You know what I'm saying? We'll check in on black men with some tragic shit happen. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it should be daily on some, you know, like, it's gotta be, that has to take some momentum of the conversation to normalize the check-in, to but normalize, guess, you know what I mean? And that's all I'm saying.
But guess who gonna make that so?
Black people, black men.
No, black men. It's going to make that so. If we don't do it, it don't happen. I had that epiphany when I was doing the thing for Father's Day. If black men don't take over Father's Day, it will never change. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's black, true indeed.
Mother's Day is what it is, because black women is going to celebrate that shit, you know what I'm saying, and enforce it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And be happy about it. It's like black men have got to a point where they aren't necessarily having their own conversations just amongst each other in a wider net. You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of our conversations are trying to blend in to what's happening, what's popular. You know what I'm saying? You trying to talk your way into a situation or a career. You trying to talk your way into, you know what I'm saying, some panties on the internet. It's all these things. I think it's just men just need spaces to kind of have these conversations and talk to each other. And I ain't saying it got to be no official, you know what I'm saying, organization, and we got to sign up and, you know what I'm saying, the brothers come unite. It's just we got to do that shit on the regular. just to each other, just around the way with, you know what I'm saying, whoever your partners is, whoever, might be strangers. It's just something in it. That's why I say I don't have no answers, and I don't think it's nowhere close. That's why I say I could work on some shit like this for the rest of my life, because it's one, that important, and two, it's that vast. It's you gotta start looking at how to do it and how to start it and seed it. And once it's go, you know, people make shit go. Now, once it's gone, it's gone. But you got to get it. You got to get to a point where it's even something that's in the zeitgeist.
Right. And look, I'm voting for it. I'm all for it. I'm just saying. That's what I'm saying. I think it might be tough. That's all I'm saying. It's not. I don't believe it can't happen, but I just feel like, I also feel like just sociologic, like just like how we're raised, men and women. I was having this conversation the other day. Just like women are, it's not even encouraged could be a word, but it's just like it's way more native to women, you know, to be supportive of one another, to like to make time, like, you know, you'll see like if one of their homegirls is fucked up, it's like, I was watching Run the World or whatever. Yo, emergency, SOS, 911. They all in the bed together and shit like that. Niggas don't need to do shit like that, but they all converge upon each other and they commiserate together. Yeah. We gonna get it together. I feel like with fellas, you know what I mean? Like, you got about 15 minutes of this shit, and then it's like, all right, my nigga, what the fuck is you going to do, though? Like, but my point is, that's where shit needs to get chipped away at, because, you know, like, dealing with feelings, just from my own shit that I be seeing, just dealing with feelings and stuff like that, you'll see that it's very much, I gotta get my shit together immediately. You know what I'm saying? Nothing small thing to a giant ain't shit. You know what I'm saying? Nigga try to just walk the pain off. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, it's all right, I'm all right, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? Cause it's like this finite time of grief or stress or whatever the fuck you going through. You don't always fully feel your feelings. You suppressing them shits, you repressing them shits. And a lot of times, you dying, you know what I'm saying? Having heart attack, strokes, fucked up, you know what I mean? Go to jail, like wild shit, because it's like, it's almost like you walking around like a volcano. You know what I'm saying? Like shit is just, it could, so if a nigga come up to you, you came down to Miami to have a good time, you fresh as hell, so nigga ask you one question. And now you fucking waterworks, and you didn't expect to be waterworks. The shit kind of caught you off guard a little bit, and it triggered some shit that you didn't even know how to. You didn't even know how to. Now you trying to fix the valve, the gasket blew the whole shit because you just not, more often than not, you not in the habit of maintaining that conversation and that momentum of. Not only just healing, but like expression. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could do it. You could do it. Like, I just see it. I see it at times when, you know, you could turn it on, but sometimes it's like, turn it on for a minute, and then it's like, all right, bet that should have dissipate. Right. Or feel like, all right, I'm doing too much, whatever. But go ahead. I just
don't think that it's a one thing that is just like, okay, everybody, let's do this. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Again, I don't have no research. I don't have nothing. I have no motherfucking research dollars. All I have is observation. Right? And
you got two things under your belt. You've done it twice, at least twice, to where you've affected the conversation. So if at all, I mean, that's enough research. And if you got that desire to keep that shit going, like dead ass, I'm like, yo, do that shit. That's you know, not to make it dumb heavy, but that could be your call. That could be your purpose. Right. I mean, last week we was talking about the resolution.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and you walking in that path. You got to, you know, full on take it on.
That's what I'm talking about, right? So it ain't no one thing. It's a whole, all right. So like say, I was in, what's the name of that little spot where they used to have the 1992 parties at? Lower East Side.
Santos?
Santos. I was in Santos probably like 2007, 8, something like that. Let me see. I don't know what's the appropriate term for a very masculine gay woman. So anyway, she was a very masculine gay woman, and she was dressed like a man, and she was walking through real hard, you know what I'm saying? And then she bumped into me very aggressively. And the way that she was behaving was kind of like a nigga from the 80s, you know what I'm saying? But we in 2007. And when you bump into niggas, niggas don't even behave like that no more, all aggressive and like, what, you just bumped into me, stepped on my shoe, nigga? That ain't really how niggas really act in the world no more, because niggas know it's a different type of reaction on the other end, and niggas got guns now, and you know what I'm saying? Niggas ain't just walking around deboing niggas. You understand what I'm saying? So when I saw that, I was like, I wonder where she's pulling this information from to base her, you know what I'm saying, her style and flow. And because whatever it is, she's pulling from an old book. And because when I'm in the world as a black man myself, and I'm bumping into niggas, it's a different kind of, you know what I'm saying? It's a different kind of thing. Even cats, right, they be like, pardon me. You know what I'm saying? It's quicker to just dead the shit than it is to ramp the shit up. It ain't like, you know what I'm saying, 88, 89. It's different. Like, and now, even in these days, you're seeing more guys that are approaching life a lot differently. Even guys who've had very rough, you know what I'm saying, exteriors and upbringings. They approaching life a little, even if they start off aggressive, once they know that it's something different, it's an easier switch than it used to be. So something is actually changing already. I'm just saying, with that observation, let's take it further. Let's dig into it. Let's see what it is. You know? That's all.
I'm with you. I'm no trust dog. I'm with you. That's what I'm saying. I feel like, you know, The need is there 100%. Let's keep it going. I got a question. No. I got a question. What do you think has been on a national level, like, the last voice for black men? Like, and I mean, like, media wise, propaganda wise, I guess even if we and take hip hop out of it. You know what I'm saying? But, like, you know, like, at one point, and it could go even bigger than this, but at, like, one point, not to say it's not relevant anymore, but whatever, but at one point, like, Ebony magazine was, like, a big thing. Or even at one point, remember Ebony Man? You know what I'm saying? Or, like, you know, like, certain magazines that spoke to black men specifically. Or programming, shit like that. Like, what do you think was the last thing that you saw that did it in a way that you kind of, you fucked with? And then do you see anything going on now that kind of has taken on some of that?
Well, you know, thing about it is you always have many influences, right? You know, back in the 90s and beyond, before that, you know, you might have these big publications, you know, Black Enterprise, you had Ebony, you had Vibe, you had The Source, you had XXL, King, you know what I'm saying, that can speak to their collective audiences, you know what I'm saying? You had, after that, you had blogs, you know what I'm saying? The board, the message boards, OK Player, the blogs, things of that nature for guys who were into that type of thing, who had internet and wanted to read. You know what I'm saying? Which, you know, which counts a segment of black men out that went on that. But at the end of the day, man, a lot of times black men get a lot of their information from other black men or from black women, right? And it's a lot of culture is based off of you know, being in a space. And one thing may start in one space and spread out. But we know how to communicate, even if the platform is one thing. Because say now you got, like, Kevin Samuels was a big influence for some niggas. You know what I'm saying? You got other people mm-hmm. who talk about Passport Brothers and, you know what I'm saying, moving about in that way. You got people who talk about financial literacy, like Earn Your Leisure and shit like that. Wall Street Trapper. You know what I'm saying? These people are talking. These people got followings of millions, a million plus. And mm-hmm. and all of them magazines we talked about, very few of them had a circulation over a million. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Vibe circulation was like 800,000. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? So you're talking about individuals having big voices and big platforms. So I think if you take music out of it and you add those types of voices, those types of things are happening every day, and the communication is evolving every day. You know what I'm saying? But still, a lot of times we are listening to each other, and that's one of the things we learned from the Dear Black Man thing. It wasn't necessarily, like, niggas is very hard to market to. That's why we even did that video, to see if they can even be reached. And by the way that video was shared and the people that shared it, it was like, wow, it reached guys from across the spectrum of black men, from goddamn the gospel singers to Nipsey Hussle to Big U to Will Packer to, you know what I'm saying, to all these different, to Dead Press, like Stickman from Dead Press, like all these different kinds of people, you know what I mean? And that's not a easy task, to put a message that wide of a net is captured. So what is the common denominator? The common denominator in that was love. You know what I'm saying? When you talk about love, it's never attributed to black men. It's never associated with black men. Yeah, you might get a couple of fathers, you know what I'm saying, on TV, a couple of this, a couple of that, bunch of relationship niggas and shit like that. But on just a general spectrum, as a collective, love is never put on us. You know what I mean? You might have one guy love his family, you know what I'm saying, or this guy, ASAP Rocky, love his girl. But as a general, it ain't on us. And I think that's where you got to start, I think. Because when you do talk to niggas individually, they do have love, and they go where the love is at, whether it's with their homies, with their family, or whatever. So that's where you start. You know what I'm saying? I don't know where it ends, because you can't know. But if you start there, I think you're starting in the right place.
There you go. All right. Keep it going.
I saw somebody post. They was like, you know what I'm saying, there's this one scene John Singleton put in Boys in the Hood that most went over people's heads. You seen that?
Nah. What scene is it? Furious style scene or something?
Nah. Well, Furious was in it, but it was the scene when they was after they shot Ricky. Cube and them jumped in the vert and they was going looking for the niggas. And Trey stole his daddy gun, jumped in there with him. And then he was talking about the part where Trey was like, yo, Doe, let me out. Yeah. And then he was like, you know what I'm saying, he didn't call him a lame. He pulled over, he let him out. But that scene was never lost on me. You know what I'm saying? Because you see his pops. His pops was home thinking. And everything that his pops put into him came to him in that moment, you know what I'm saying? And I can relate, because I grew up with a single pops just like Furious Styles that had them same ass China balls, you know what I'm saying, that when you out and you about to make a crazy move, you feel that nigga already in you. He's like, man, this ain't what I'm supposed to be doing, you know what I'm saying? And it could change your whole trajectory from doing something stupid, right? And so when you see that people are acknowledging things like that in the stories we tell in our literature, in our movies, in our media, you know, there's a lane for people to point that out, which means those are seeds that are able to put in the world that maybe more people may be more thoughtful in the imagery that they put out. Maybe people be more receptive to that type of imagery and those types of story arcs of where, yeah, a nigga might not want to go kill somebody tonight. You know what I'm saying? And his homeboys ain't going to blame him or judge him for that. Because they know that ain't his route. You know what I'm saying? They know better than anybody. Go on, let me let this man out for his daddy be on my motherfucking neck. You know? Mm-hmm. And it's like all of those things, man, exist. And the world will act like they don't. Because we all supposed to just be wild, crazy, shoot up the motherfucking club, messing with strippers. So the more these types of images and messages can go, I think the more shit will change. Because even the hardest niggas have these same types of thoughts.
Of course, yeah. Celebrate the nuance. Speaking of the hardest niggas with the crazy thoughts, it's funny that you think about it. Somebody pointed this shit out that I thought was an ill line about just the same shit, like just take a breath type shit.
Mm-hmm.
On long, like on Niggas Done Started Something, the old shit with what's that, Mace, Lox, DMX.
Mm-hmm.
Styles P got a line where he say, what does that nigga say, sitting at the table planning and plug the fan in, let the sweat dry off and then grab your cannon. You know what I mean? Like that shit, just that little line of this, I forget who pulled that shit out, but it's just like, it's so many little moments like that, but it's just like, take a moment, nigga. There's a difference between responding and reacting. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And when you learn the difference between the two of those shits, you just do a lot. You do a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
You do a lot better. If you stop thinking about, if you take ego and pride and shit out of it, which is tough because a lot of times, at least that's what it's presented as, that's all you got. You know what I'm saying? You hear shit like, that's all I got is my balls and my word. You know what I'm saying? You hear that dumb shit and you internalize that. You don't think about, yo, you got, you know what I mean? Shit, you got your fucking, your brain.
Right.
And, you know, common sense, rationing, and all of that shit. I mean, we can talk about this shit forever and ever. You know, man. we going to be all right, man. Hopefully.
We going to be all right.
You know, we going to get better. We going to be all right. Yeah, exactly. Oh, shit. you want to talk about the idol real fast before we jump out of here?
Yeah. I started the idol.
The episode. Yeah, I'm, you know what I'm saying?
I cracked it open. You know what I'm saying? I get, you know, the gist of where we going, what we're doing. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I need to see more episodes to get into it. You know what I'm saying? But I got the preamble.
Okay. Yeah.
You know,
I think it's like, I've seen all the episodes so far. And that first episode, when I saw the first episode, I was like, when I first watched it, I was like, all right, it's a little heavy handed. It reminded me of, and I just went and got it. I got to rewatch it because I want the, I want to, even before I make the reference now, but I wanted to really, I got to revisit it just to see if it, because it felt like it. It reminded me. You remember that movie, 9 and a Half Weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, Mickey Rourke. Mm-hmm. And I forget, you know, but it's just like, it's a whole lot of like deliberate, like sexual kind of manipulation and explore it, like turning a chick out, you know, that type of vibe. Yeah. Like, I feel like the way it's shot feels very like 80s, early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the heavy handed sex themes are very much reminiscent of that, you know, and I've seen a lot of controversy saying it was toxic and whatever, whatever, which I think, you know, it's like a buzzword for today.
Right.
And, you know, from what I've seen, I haven't read a whole lot about it, but I've seen like little blurs where The Weeknd has said, you know, the goal with his character is to be, you know, he said a douchebag or just to be lean into that shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Lean into that. What was from back in the days, what would be problematic or cancelable now, which is, you know what I mean? Like on a certain level, interesting. Right. So there's that. And then
hold on. Before you move to the next point, when you talk about problematic and cancelable behavior, That shit ain't go nowhere. Niggas is committing problematic, toxic, behavioral shit every single day. But go ahead.
For sure. And honestly, I feel like cancel culture is a farce. But that's a whole nother story. But for sure. But I also think that there is this, you see so many people kind of like, there's this hesitation in movements. You know what I'm saying? Or even hesitation in exposing people to shit like that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know about it because you know you're outside. You know real people. You speak to people. You hear about it, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know if I'm looking at, like, the media. I don't know if I see a lot of what is still going on. You know what I'm saying? Unless it is labeled toxic. Unless it is some future shit or whatever. It becomes labeled toxic. But then there's this thing to where it's like this this thing where if you show what may be going on, what is going on in the world, it's this like, it's immediately, this is glorification. It's a celebration of fucked up shit. And the thing is, humans are animals. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's the end of the day. Like, humans are animals, and they get on some animalistic shit. And oftentimes, a lot of the animalistic shit is consensual. It's a understanding between whoever is in that moment with that other human, right? Boom. Mm-hmm. So I see that. I see that type of thing. And like I said, that's interesting because I don't think you see it a whole lot. I think even with, like, Euphoria, Sam Levinson tapped into it, but obviously could only go but so far because these are still supposed to be like high school kids. Mm-hmm. So now with The Weeknd, like, you go a little crazier, right? So there's that. And then it was also like, what was the other thought I had about it? I don't know if this is, I think it's episode one. Maybe it's not episode one, but I think it might happen in episode two. But there's this also like, you know, how they talk, I like how they kind of show the industry, you know what I'm saying? The music industry, the behind the scenes, and the product that is an artist, and how it's maintained, and how it's like very particular about the moves that they make, is strategic, and you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a commodity, and the way that they're dealing with a commodity. But even beyond that, like, the artistic community, I think that might come in on the second half, where the kid Tedros, he brings his little band of weirdos and talents, you know what I'm saying, to the spot. They converge. But there's also that I always peeped, you know, like, back in the days, had a little stint of like managing producers, and obviously, you know, I was working at Vibe, doing artist relations and shit like that. Shout out to Nikki P, you know what I mean, was managing producers for a little bit. So you be, you know, you might go to studio sessions, or you might go in these little settings where the creatives lie. You know what I'm saying? This is back before I was doing kind of, this is back when I was in the corporate world. So I might have been on the side of a suit, even though I wasn't suited up, but you know, like on some old business side. So you're around the creatives, and when you're around some of these like little settings where creators are encouraged to be creative, you see such a like a motley crew of personalities and like weirdo shit that's like, you know, and I would say weirdo because that's judgmental, but like, just, oh, these people are like on some real eccentric vibes here,
right?
But it's all inclusive, it's all because it's for the greater good, because we're gonna create something. That's the goal. We're gonna create some next level shit, or at least that's the intention, that's the hope. Sometimes it don't happen, but it's such a specific type of vibe that you, your energy and all that you see around it, and it's just like, I like seeing that. It's kind of interesting, you right. know. The last point about it though, because I'm three episodes in, and this is my only thing. If it doesn't, I'm hoping that something pivots a little bit, because what's been going on for the three episodes, it seems a little one note, and I'm feeling like homegirl, the lead, the Jossie character, she gotta have some agency. She ain't get there she wasn't dragged along, or at least maybe, who knows, but like, you've gotten to this level, you gotta be able to leverage a little bit of your fucking, your fame, your accomplishment. You've learned a lot. Like, you are not this influential, this big of a star, and have no fucking, like, you just rudderless. I could see you in a rut, but like, you gotta have some savvy about you. So if it's gonna just be my man manipulating and mind fucking you for the whole shit, it could get a little corny. But I hope something happens. That's my take on it.
Right.
Where
right,
you
right.
at with it?
Well, you know, again, I'm still in the pre setup phase. I mean, they've just met, you know what I'm saying? You could see something shifty's going down. You know what I'm saying? Just from the moment he started dancing with her in the club, which, you know, that timeline kind of, it was hard to follow the timeline because it seemed like they was projecting shit that hadn't happened yet, or had it happened. I wasn't sure if he, you know what I'm saying, if it had happened and then she didn't remember, or it was some shit that they was just mixing what was going to happen throughout the setup of it, getting ready to go. So
looked a little confusing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but I dug, you know what I'm saying, the way they treated it, you know what I'm saying, because it does make you think. The sound, I like when, you know, shows use sound as an extra character, you know what I'm saying, from being a music supervisor. It's not just the song itself, it's like sound, like the sound design. And they use like different sounds to kind of guide you along, and when shit get all the way out of control, it just be a crazy ass sound. So I was digging it stylistically, but again, first episode, you still in the setup phase, you still meeting the team, and you know what I'm saying, this the manager, this blah, 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 this, you know, typical ass industry shit that you've seen, you know what I'm saying, over a career in entertainment, you know what I mean. Change the fucking person is a, you know what I mean? Every 3 years is a new Jossie, you know what I mean? So, you know, I'm at the point of, okay, let's see where this go. You know, every time they show The Weeknd, this shit is like red like the devil. So, you know what I'm saying? You already know. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm going to get into it. I have more insight as I get through the next few episodes. You know what I mean? But again, you know, it's edgy, and I think anything coming out now, you know what I mean? I think, you know, TV and HBO and all these places have matured in the types of stories that they're telling. You know, they already had Entourage, so it can't be Entourage 2. So to cut through the noise, it has to be somewhat, you know, mysterious or cutting edge. Breaking through to have Euphoria. So this kind of like Euphoria meets Entourage. Let's see where it goes.
Let's see what's what. What you think of The Weeknd's acting?
Ah, man, I think he's intriguing. You know what I'm saying? I think he's playing his motherfucking role. Charlie, the nigga had a Rosetto. That nigga, he had a rat tail. So I think you know, he's doing better than I thought he was going to do. I'll tell you that.
Right.
I didn't know what to expect, but I ain't mad. I'm like, okay, I can watch this.
No, I'm not mad either. He's doing his thing. He's doing his thing. The Weeknd being The Weeknd, basically.
I don't say The Weeknd.
I don't even know what The Weeknd is, but I mean, like, you know, like, I don't want to say he ain't acting, because, I mean, I don't know this motherfucker, but he's pulling it off. He's pulling it off. It don't look like
I think he's out of his depth. I think he's
moving the plot.
Yeah, because it's moving the plot. You can't just create a vibe of a mysterious, you know what I'm saying, almost goddamn devilish vibe without acting. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think he digging in. I think he practicing and shit.
That's cool. Yeah, that's what's up. Yeah, so we'll talk about that some more. We'll and maybe add some more shit to the slate.
Word up.
Yeah. But shit, we here, man. It's time for us to roll out. You know what I mean? As always, tell a friend to tell a friend,
and even an enemy,
to get in the conversation. We out.